The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
I have a question for us as we started out today. How do you think the founding fathers would feel in America today? All right, I'm going to take from your simple response of that, probably not good. Why do you think they wouldn't feel good? Okay. We can edit that out, right? Yeah. I don't want to get flagged by the FBI. Okay, so there, whatever it is, something in our country has taken steps backwards, right? It's crazy to say that, because this week specifically, we, as Christians, we kind of took some steps back in the right direction as a country, but as a whole, as a country, we've taken steps backwards, right? It almost be as if what they fought so hard to gain our independence from, England, we hand back over to another form. How do you think that makes them feel? Angry. Okay. Let me ask you this. How many of you ever dealt with teenagers or maybe senior parents? And there are these little things that jingle. You know what I'm talking about? And you've taken those from either a teenager who just got their license to drive, or you've taken them from maybe a mom or a dad who doesn't need to be driving anymore. How did that make them feel? Angry, right? Because there was this independence that they had. There was something that they were given that made them free, and you've pulled it away from them. We would say if somebody did that voluntarily, like there's something wrong with them. As a nation, as a country, if we went back and willingly said, hey, listen, you know what? That freedom thing wasn't all we thought it was. We want to go back to being part of England. We want to be under your rule, under your reign. There'd be some people in America that would be angry. If as a parent or a senior parent or a teenager came to you one day and said, hey, listen, you know what? That whole driving deal, going places, gas prices, nah, here, you can have my keys. Anybody had that happen? Even with gas prices, teenagers still love to drive. Even with gas prices or with whatever, senior parents still love to drive, because there's something about that independence that we wouldn't want to give up, right? There's angry. But what I want to ask you guys about this morning is this. How about our Christian lives? Do we really experience independence in our Christian lives? There's this passage in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. It says this, For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. Seems pretty simple, right? Christ has made us free through the blood. We just sang about that. So, like, what is he talking about, submitting again to the yoke of slavery? That would be foolish. That would be insane. But there's this battle that constantly goes on in my head. And if you guys, I don't know if I'm going to be, y'all ever talk to yourself in your head?
Out loud.
You talk to yourself out loud. Okay, good. Me too. I just want to make sure, like, if you ever, like, I forget, I was someplace the other day at church. And that's all I'm going to tell you. I don't remember where I was. But I was just having this ongoing conversation with myself. And, like, I was doing it out loud because I think better when I talk out loud. And so I'm just walking around talking. I had no clue that somebody was here. And Miss Bonnie was here. And she's like, hey, John. And I was like, I'm sorry. She caught me red-handed. Like, I was talking and thinking to myself. And there's this battle that goes on in my brain. And I don't know if you'll admit it, but I think it goes on in all of our brains. It's in Romans chapter 7. Paul points it out to me. He says this, so I find the law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law in my mind. It is making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me as well. What a wretched man am I, for who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Real quick, I'm going to give you the John translation of that. there are these things I want to do. But the things that I want to do, I don't end up doing. I actually end up doing the things that I don't want to do. And I can't ever figure out why that happens, because I know what I need to do and I know what I want to do. But inevitably, I always end up falling short of doing the things that I want to do. And instead, I do what I don't want to do. Or even worse, there are things that I don't want to do. I really don't want to do them. I don't want to do this. And so I end up doing these other things. But the reason I do these other things isn't really because I don't want to do this. It's because I really don't want to not do what I'm supposed to do. Everybody follow me through all that, right? Yeah. Yeah, start over. I can't remember what I said 2 seconds ago. We'll personalize it. Why are you here today? Why are you at church on Sunday? Listen, you can look around and see that not everybody felt the same way that you did about coming to church today. So why are you here? Some of you are here because it's Sunday, you go to church. Some of you had this thought. You got up this morning, you sat up in your bed. Sunday. It's not raining. It's not as hot as it's been outside. It would be a great day just to walk outside and garden. Maybe I could pick some tomatoes. Maybe I could go to the lake. Oh, man, it'd be a good day to relax. Oh, but if I don't go to church, somebody's going to think I'm a sinner. They're going to think that I'm out partying, or I'm out barbecuing, or I'm out blowing up something with fireworks that I shouldn't be blowing up. People are going to think I'm a sinner if I don't go to church. So I have to go to church because people are going to think I'm a sinner if I don't go to church. So my Sunday school teacher is going to text me if I'm not there. They're going to call me and say, hey, listen, we missed you in church today. That pastor, he started keeping track of how many people we have in church. You know why he did that? He's looking to see when I'm in church and when I'm not in church so that he can convict me about not being in church. And so you came to church today simply because of that. Now, real quick, that's exactly what Paul's talking about here. He's saying there are these things that I really want to do, and I want to do them for the right reasons, but inevitably, every time I end up doing them, I don't do them for the right reasons. I end up doing them for the wrong reasons, and the wrong things I don't want to do, I don't do them for the right reasons. I end up not doing them for the wrong reasons. And that is the battle that takes place in my head constantly. And I think that's the battle that takes place in a lot of our heads constantly. And so as I started reading through this and I started thinking about this idea of where I am as a Christian and where I am in my independence as a Christian, I found that we're constantly drawn back to captivity. You and I are constantly drawn back to captivity. In some form, in some fashion, we're always drawn, whether it's and we're going to look at this in just a second. I'm jumping way ahead of myself, but spoiler alert. We're either drawn back to our sins, right? Man, there's this thing. I really don't want to do it. I know it's wrong. I know it's bad. I know this is not what I need to do. But there's something comforting. There's something familiar about this. There's something in this that I'm drawn back to, regardless of how hard I try to get away from it. Or we're drawn the other way. Listen, you're drawn into captivity in the fact that I have to do what's right, because if I don't do what's right, other people are going to look at me and they're going to know that there's something wrong with me. And so I have to do what's right, not because I really want to do what's right, but because I am scared to death of what other people will think of me if I do what's wrong. So when Paul writes in Galatians that you've been set free and for Christ's sake, don't submit yourself again to slavery. I think a lot of us go back to slavery, not so much kicking and screaming, but willingly. We surrender those freedoms of Christ because our natural tendency is to be drawn back into this captivity that we know. If you look at the nation of Israel, it's so funny. When they get freed from Egypt, they're walking out. Moses is leading them. Pharaoh, let his people go. And they're all the way over here. And they get in the desert, in the wilderness, and they say, listen, why are we here? This isn't all it's cracked up to be. Go back to slavery. Put me back in slavery. I will willingly go back to slavery. And I think that's what a lot of us do as Christians time and time again. We don't truly live in the freedom of Christ. Instead, we would rather live under the yoke of some form of slavery. And that's why Paul writes it to us. It also happened in Jesus' time, John chapter 8, verses 31 through 35. is in your guides. I think the screen's a little bit shorter, but it says this. To the Jew who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching and you are really my disciple, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we'll be set free? Jesus replied, very, verily I say to you, or very truly I say to you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs in it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. This part got me. Because it's like, these guys, now who was Jesus talking to here? He was talking to religious people, right? He was talking to people who would be at church on July 3rd on a July holiday weekend. They knew the Bible. They knew the scripture. They knew those things. But it's so funny to me that these same people, when did the law get given to them? On the way from captivity, right? When they were leaving Egypt, it was when God gave them the law. They studied the law, but they'd become blind to their own captivity. They put these blinders up that said, yeah, this is the law, and we're really focused on the law. We're really focused on the law, but we've never been slaves to anybody. And Jesus says, yeah, you have. You've been a slave your whole life, whether you realize it. You traded one form of slavery for another. You traded the slavery that you experienced in Egypt, where someone was making you do something, and now you're a slave, but you're a slave to the law that I gave you, not to save you, but to show you how much you needed me. Well, that's Old Testament, John. That doesn't have to do with us. Yeah, it does, though. Because, again, I think there's a lot of us that we do this. This captivity that we've placed ourselves in now, it tells us that we can earn our freedom. And listen, I know some of you all have like already checked out. You're like, man, this is 5 minutes too long. I get it, but just hang with me, because this is every single one of us as Christians. Every single one of us at some point in time in our Christian life tries to do this right here. We have traded in our slavery to sin to our slavery to religion. And we think that if we are a good enough person, if we read our Bible enough, if we come to Sunday school enough, if we sit in this pew long enough, if we give enough, if we're a member of the right church, if we do this, if we do that, if we sing the right songs, if we do those different things, somehow God's going to look down on us and say, oh, they're good. They get to come to heaven because of this. And, oh, Mr. Eugene, I'm sorry. Y'all ever do perfect attendance in Sunday school? Y'all ever, you remember that? You guys remember that? The little card you got, and you had to have perfect attendance. Can I tell you that I think there's going to be a lot of people with perfect attendance in Sunday school that are sitting in hell? Because what they do is they take that perfect attendance card and they say, man, this means I'm saved. I never miss Sunday school. I came with the flu. I came with a stomach bug. I gave it to everybody else in Sunday school. Even when I was puking, my mama made sure I was there. But I never missed. I'm going to heaven. And they try to earn their freedom. But what they've done is they've made themselves a slave to every single day when Sunday school's open. I've got to be there. The other people that they think that, man, they've got a little checklist that gives them Monday through Friday. You're supposed to read your Bible, and it's got to be in the morning time because God's not awake any other time but in the morning time. And so they've got this checklist they've got to start out. Listen, I went to a Christian school that was hardcore about that, man. And we would have to check off every single day. I read my Bible today. I read my Bible today. I read my Bible today. As if God's going to look down from heaven and say, listen, he made 365 days in a row. That's my man. Come on, buddy. You're going to heaven with me. Not a chance in the world. But somehow we put ourselves into that mindset. You know why I read the Bible for 365 days that year? It was not because I cared what the Bible had to say. It was because I knew I got a grade on it, and I knew if I didn't, then somebody was going to look at me and say, oh, John's less of a Christian than me. Sinner. I wasn't a Catholic school, sorry, but like they would look down on me, and so out of fear from what other people would think of me, I did it. I read the Bible 365 days in a row just to prove that I was good enough for God to love me. There's a problem with that, though, too. Romans chapter 3, verse 20 tells us this. No one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us that we're sinful. He continues in verse 22, we are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true of everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glorious standard of God. Yet God in his grace makes us freely right in his sight. He did this through Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. Can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? No, because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law. It is based on faith. So we are made right with God through faith and not by obeying the law. See, that passage tells me this, that it doesn't matter what I do. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter how many perfect attendance cards you have in Sunday school. It doesn't how many days in a row you've read your Bible consistently. It doesn't tell me how much you give to the offering. It doesn't tell me if you sing the right songs. It doesn't tell me if you're a member at this church, that church, or another church that you're going to heaven. It tells me that the only way you and I are ever going to be freed from any of that is through Christ. That's it. And I know this is, again, this is the church going, folks, and this is the crowd that's always here. So, but, man, I love you too much to let you go to hell with a full card. If you are trying to earn your freedom in anything other than Christ, you've missed it. You're still a slave to doing what other people think is right. There's also, I told you, another type of slavery that we put ourselves in, and it's this idea that we're captive to our own desires, our own sin. It's this part of us that's like ingrained in there, right? Anybody ever like tried to stop sinning? Yeah, you really want to. Listen, I know this is not good. I know this is not what I need to be doing. But it's there's something that's just, every time I get away from it, it draws me back. Every time I get and I think, hey, listen, I've got that licked. I don't have to worry about that sin. I don't have to worry about this anymore. All of a sudden, something happens in life, and I find myself willingly running back to this, saying, this is comforting. This is where I want to be. Yeah, no. No, I'm not a slave to sin. I can choose to sin when I want to sin and choose not to sin. You don't understand the definition of slavery then. See, if you think that slaves just say, hey, listen, I'm done. I don't want to work anymore today. I'm tired. It's been a long one. I'm going to head home for a little while. And they leave. You don't understand slavery. That's not the way it works. You're not in control. You don't get to pick and choose when you do things. You don't get to pick and choose how hard you work, when you work, the hours you work, whether you work with this person, that person, or another person. You don't get the choice in any of that. What it means to be a slave to sin, or it means to be a slave in general, is you are completely and utterly powerless. You have nothing. No say, no opinion. No freedoms. Some of you guys today have walked in here and you're captive to your own desires, to your own sins. Jesus says in John chapter 8, verses 34, he says, Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, anyone who commits a sin is a slave to sin. I love and I hate that verse. I know you're not supposed to hate scripture, so like y'all are already judging me. It's cool. Here's why I love it. I love it because when I commit the really, really bad sins, I'm like, oh man, all sins equal. It's okay. God doesn't, you know, like this really, really bad thing that I like, that just, man, like it crumbled me to my core. And this is something I never thought I'd ever do. It's all sins equal. So I'm okay. I hate this verse because when I tell just the smallest lie, I mean, like, Hey, we can't have candy because candy's going to ruin your dinner. It's not entirely true. Sorry, parents. Or listen, I used to do this all the time. My parents have lived far away from me for a long time. And so my parents, I was like 30-something years old, I think. And I would be at Burger King getting chicken fries. Y'all remember chicken fries from Burger King? I love those things. I'd be at Burger King and I'd be getting chicken fries. And I'd call my parents in Florida. They're like 18 hours away from me. And they'd be like, where are you? I'd be like, oh, I'm just sitting at the house. And why did I do that? I'm a 30-year-old man. I can go get chicken fries when I want to get chicken fries. But I would tell that little lie because I didn't want him to worry about me, or I didn't want to have to be like, oh man, why is he out at 10:30 at night getting chicken fries? That's ridiculous. And so like, I didn't want them to do that. And so I would tell this little lie. And the reason I dislike this verse so much is because that little lie that I would tell is the same thing as when I was down here in a cesspool full of disgusting sin. And I think I'm powerful over this sin because I can control when I lie and when I don't lie. But what I don't realize is that I'm a sin, just like I'm a slave to it, just like when I'm over here and I have no hope of getting out, is the same thing when I'm over here. I'm a slave to it and I have no hope of getting out. Jesus says in that passage in John, he says, listen, when you commit a sin, the smallest, most minuscule, little, white lie sin, you're still a slave to it. You're still enslaved by it. Second Peter chapter 2, verse 19 says this, they promise freedom, but they themselves are slaves of sin and corruption. For you are a slave to whatever controls you. We don't like to think of ourselves as slaves to sin. But let me ask you another question. What's the first thing you think about before you make a decision? If you're going to buy something, what's the first thing that comes through your mind? If you're going to go someplace and you're going to go on a vacation, you're going to go on a trip someplace, what's the first thing that comes to your mind? Money? Okay. Maybe, just maybe. There's this idea that greed and making sure I have enough is at the root of some stuff. See, I think what that answers for all of us is this. Whatever controls us, whatever our driving force is what we're a slave to. If I'm worried, my first thought is, oh man, well, how am I going to do this based on money? If my first thought is, how am I going to do this based on my family? If my first thought is, how am I going to do based on anything? That's what is my driving force. That's what controls me. How am I going to do this with work? That's what controls you. How am I going to do this with mom and dad? How am I going to do this with this? How am I going to do this with that? That is the driving force, the controlling factor of your life. Now, those aren't bad things at all, because it's smart to make intelligent, thought-out decisions. But it's very scary. Because eventually you're going to become a slave to that. See, there are things in life that promise freedom, but they actually enslave you more. Y'all ever like, y'all ever be tempted by something? Just like a small temptation. It's one time. I'm just this one time. I just want to know what it's like. I just want to know what this is like. And so you do it. And the next thing you know, you want to go back and you want to do it again. And it draws you back in. And then before you realize it, every decision that you make is controlled by this. I told you guys about that lie that I would tell. It was funny. I had to remember where I told my parents I was and what I told my parents I was doing the next time I talked to them, or else I'd know I was lying and I was at Burger King buying chicken fries, not at home sitting watching TV. And that lie, that one little stupid lie, controlled my life. And the same thing's true with all of us. You're controlled by things that offer freedom like sin. So then what's the point? What's the good news in any of this? We're slaves. We all willingly submit ourselves back to slavery of either thinking we can earn God's righteousness, or we submit to slavery of sin, saying, listen, I'm going to be dirty. I might as well jump in the whole mud pile. But then there's this other part of it that's called freedom in Christ. Freedom in Christ looks like this. Romans 6:23. But now that you've been set free from sin and have become a slave to God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. See, freedom in Christ says, listen, I go to church. I go to church not so that you are impressed. I'm impressed. I get enough stamps on a card. I get enough check boxes. I feel good enough about the sins I committed this week that I washed myself. I came and did my hour of ritual here where I was at church, and now I'm clean and I can go back out and I can sin more again this week. It's not about that. I get to come to church. I get to sit in here because it means that I get to become sanctified. Church word for I get to become closer to God. That's what sanctification is. Sanctification is the process where you become more like the God who created you in his image. It means that when you get to come in here, you get to actually enjoy being in church because you are coming closer to God. It means that when you give, when you join churches, when you do whatever it is that you do in your life, those good things that you do that you know you're supposed to do, you're not doing them to try and earn God's favor anymore. You're doing them because you realize this makes my God happy. I'm not trying to earn his love. He already loves me. There's nothing I can do to earn his love. All it's doing is just making him happy. It's making me more like him, which is what I want to be all along. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Max mentioned it earlier today. Man, read the entire chapter. But there's these set of verses: when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true: death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, but the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us victory through Jesus Christ. Another place, Galatians chapter 5, verses 24 and 25 says this: those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed their passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross, and they have crucified them there. Since then we are living by the Spirit. Let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Remember at the beginning we talked about how Paul has this inner battle, this dilemma that's going on in his brain constantly, where he's doing things that he doesn't want to do, but he's not doing them for the right reasons. He's doing them for the wrong reasons, and he's doing the wrong things for the wrong reasons, and he's doing the right things for the right reasons, and all those different things that we talked about, and it was so confusing. I love how Paul ends that though. Romans chapter 7, verses 24 and 25, they say this. Sorry, we'll read the whole thing, 21 through 25. If I can get there. Well, I think I can get there eventually. Ah, that's why. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin that work within me. What a wretched man am I. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? And then verse 25 comes. But thanks be to God, who delivers me through Christ Jesus our Lord. So that I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law. But in my sinful nature, I am a slave to the law of sin. In other words, what Paul says here is, listen, thanks be to God. Outside of what Christ offers you and I in freedom, there's nothing we can do. We're going to continue to be a slave to either thinking that you can earn God's righteousness or a slave to sin. But thanks be to God that what God offers you through Christ is freedom from all that. And so I don't have to worry about the things I'm supposed to do, because the things I'm supposed to do aren't going to make me loved by God. And so if I do them, great. But if I don't do them, God's not going to look at me and be like, oh, John. And if the things I'm not supposed to do, God doesn't want me to do them. And so it's not necessarily that I go out and I willingly do them, but it's like, hey, listen, I'm not doing this stuff, not so that God likes me. I'm not doing this stuff because I want to be closer to him. And I'm free to not do that stuff. I'm free from sin. I'm free from guilt. I'm free from separation from God, which is what death is, because of what Christ did for me on the cross. I'm free from all that. And so I don't have to worry about it anymore. I get to live my life and enjoy freedom. Enjoy freedom. Not go back to it. Not go back to slavery. I get to enjoy freedom. And I told you we were going to be quick, and I'm trying my best. Oh, man. All right. Last thing real quick. I'm a huge Braveheart fan. I've told you guys this before. Braveheart is like my core movie. Like it's my spirit child. I don't know if that's the same thing or not, but I love Braveheart. And I love Braveheart. I always end up watching it at 4th of July time. Because of the freedom line, like I was going to do my best, like, you know, freedom scream, but I'm not going to do that for everybody's sake. But like, I love the idea. I love it. And what it intrigues me so much about the story of Braveheart, the story of William Wallace, is that this guy was essentially, he was fighting for freedom. He was fighting for independence. There's so many lines in there that I just like came to my mind this week as I was thinking of this idea of freedom. There's the passage where his dad, or the part, sorry, not passage. There's a part where his dad looks at him and he says, "Your heart is free. Have the courage to follow her." Well, man, what does that mean? That means that freedom is there, but it takes courage. It takes willingness for you and I to risk, to be uncomfortable, to actually let people know that, hey, listen, at some point in time, I've been enslaved to something else. That takes courage to follow that. There's the other passages where it talks about freedom and every man dies, but not every man lives, and all those different things, and all those different passages, or not passages, parts of the movie. But there's this one part that just stuck in my head this week. There's a difference between us, and this is William Wallace talking to Robert the Bruce. He says, "You think the people of this country exist to provide you with position. But I think your position exists to provide these people with freedom, and I go to make sure that they have it." And it got me thinking about us as Christians. Are we free so that we have a position? Have you been set free? Has Christ died on the cross for your sins, my sins, so that you have, this is my pew. This one right here. My pew. This is my position. Do what you want, God. I'm in my position. Is your freedom about that? I've got my ticket to heaven. I'm good. Is that why Christ died on the cross? If we believe that Christ died on the cross for you and I to take our freedom, to sit in our spot and say, guess what, Miss Bonnie? I'm saved. I've got my card right here that says I'm going to heaven. Forget the rest of the world. I'm good. You're using your position as simply a position. I think that God gave you that position, that salvation, that gift of grace and mercy that God poured out on your life so that you could use it to give other or show other people what freedom looks like. God gave you your position so that other people could see what freedom means. God gave you grace so that other people could understand what it means to not be a slave to sin anymore. God gave you freedom from that so that other people would realize, hey, listen, I don't have to be the quote unquote good Christian. I don't have to live with the stamp card that says I've done every Christian duty that I'm supposed to do today so that way God loves me more. God gave you the freedom to be away from that stuff, to not be self-righteous in your own thinking so that other people can see that in you and it changes how they live their life. So this morning, I have no clue, and man, this is probably one of the worst things in the world to end like this, but I don't have a clue. I don't know this morning if you're struggling with sin or with slavery of self-righteousness, and you've been sitting here the whole time, and God has done something in your life that says, yeah, that's you. You're trying to earn your salvation. You're trying to earn my love. You're trying to earn this. This morning, I'm challenging you with every ounce that's in me. Man, give that stuff up. You're never going to listen. From a kid who's lived this life for so many years, there's one thing that I can personally speak to you about. It's this. You can never earn God's love. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more. But the good news is there's also nothing you can do that can make God love you less. And so what you get to do is you get to live in the freedom of all I have to do is just be. Am I going to mess up? Am I going to make mistakes? Am I going to fall short? Am I going to not want to go to church some Sundays? Yes. Am I going to forget to read my Bible some days? Yes. Am I going to forget my tithe or my offering? Am I going to forget? Yes. Yes. Yes, you are. But the good news is God's not looking at that to save you. He's looking at what Christ did on the cross to save you. And so you get to just enjoy life. Some of you are slaves to sin. And you're like, no, we're church folks. We're not slaves to sin. Yeah, listen, I've also lived that life. I've had those little habits, those little things that I kept in the back burner that nobody knew about. And really, they weren't. I was in control of them. I could take care of them. I could quit them anytime I wanted to. I didn't have to have that as part of my life. But then the more I started to realize it, the more that controlled me. As a pastor, I've had that. So I know that some of you have that in your life too. So my challenge for you this morning is this. Realize that when Christ died on the cross, he not only set you free from having to try to earn his love, he set you free where you are to keep you, but he loves you enough to not let you stay there, and he wants to pull you out of what you're in and give you and him control of your life back. Some of you have used your freedom as an excuse to call yourself a church member and sit in a pew for your whole life. My challenge for you today is this. God gave you that freedom so that you could show somebody else what freedom in Christ looks like. Now you've got to go and make sure that they know what it means. Let's pray. God, thank you for today, Father. I thank you for this time. I thank you for your freedom that you give to each of us. God, I have no clue. But I trust this. Father, that today you want to offer freedom to somebody who's been living under a slavery of either self-righteousness or sin. So God, my prayer is that you would use this time for us to do business with you. Father, that we would be obedient to whatever you're calling us to do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.